Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We were in that for Sunday school this morning and just spoke briefly about Onesiphorus at the end of that chapter. And there's some things in his life in that chapter that we really need to consider. That will be our text this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice in verses 16, 17, and 18, the Bible says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." So Paul was locked up, and Onesiphorus was not ashamed to be associated with him, even though he'd been imprisoned. But when he was in Rome, Onesiphorus is from Asia. To go to Rome, he had to travel. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So when Paul was in Ephesus, Onesiphorus ministered to him there, and Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. We saw that in Sunday school this morning. So he's ministering to him the entire time that he's there. Then when Paul ends up in Rome and he's imprisoned, then Onesiphorus didn't just go up there and hope to find him. He sought diligently until he found him, and then he ministered to Paul and oft refreshed him as well. So that's a wonderful thing. We want to look at this man's life in the context of this thought, lending a hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Truly, Father, we need that. We see things in the Scripture, Father, and our desire is to hear from you. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us so that the preaching today is with power and it's effectual. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to believe what we're reading and listening to so that it's effectual in our lives. We also pray, Father, that your word, because it is powerful, is preached boldly with that power so that it's evident, Father, that we've heard from you and not from a man. Father, many here today have prayed and prayed for those that have been affected by the storm, so we ask you please to answer those prayers. So thankful that reports from some cities is that there were no casualties, and in others there were, but I think right now for Chris Jaime and the Jaimes losing a cousin and their great-grandchildren, a very sad situation there in Houston. I pray for comfort there. I pray for Paul Snedeker and comfort for him and for Kim. Still waiting on test results before certain treatments can be started for the condition that she's experiencing right now. Lord, we surely pray for your hand of healing upon her, your hand of comfort, your strength of grace. Father, we pray for those here that were adversely affected by the storm and others, Father, who are literally out of their homes, out of their jobs, displaced completely, churches who can't even meet in their buildings today because of what happened. We just pray for an abundance of grace there. And God, help us to be able to, in our abilities, lend a hand, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So here, Paul is pointing out this man, Onesiphorus, for a very specific reason. In verse 15, the context, Paul is mourning this thought. He said, "This thou knowest," speaking to Timothy, "you know this," he says, "that all they which are in Asia," Ephesus is in Asia, "all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." These two men were primarily leaders of groups that drug these folks that Paul administered to for 3 years away from him, showing them another doctrine, showing them some other things. And Paul had exhorted Timothy in this particular passage to hang on to the words of God and not to break his loyalty. And he wanted to specifically point out this man Onesiphorus because he specifically had done some things that were very helpful to Paul. And, you know, when Paul writes a letter, and you know how many things could be written of the Lord's work, so take three verses for one man, says there's really something to his testimony that we should consider. And I would say that Onesiphorus was the kind of man that lent a hand to Paul to help him with his ministry. And so, keeping that in mind, let's look at this text from this way. When you roll up your sleeves and lend a hand to those in need, here's what you're doing. When you roll up your sleeves and lend a hand to those in need, this is what you're doing. First of all, you refresh them. You refresh them. Paul said in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You know, when a person is carrying his load, whatever that may be, and he has to carry that load alone, after a while it gets heavy because every day he faces it. You know, when people right now, for instance, with this storm, go and say, okay, we got to start cleaning this thing up, they make a little progress, and at first they're pretty encouraged about that, but after a while they're like, man, I have just got so much more to do. And they get tired. When you lend a hand, what you do is you refresh them so that they feel like going on. It's like, I don't have to carry this thing by myself. It's like a cool breeze on a hot day that has just blown in. I could breathe and say, you know what, I can still go on with this. This past week, I'll give you a personal illustration just to show you the effect of it. You've seen the same thing wherever you've been able to do this for other people. My brother contacted us because there was a lot of damage done at the ranch, both to trees and then to houses when trees fell on houses. They're really not designed. I don't know if you knew that. They're really not designed for that, okay? And so just an overwhelming thing. And one brother said, you know, if anybody could just go down there and spend some time. And so I made a few trips down there. Right now I'm wishing I hadn't made as many as I did, but be that as it may, I noticed something on my brother's face after the third day that we were together. You know, he had a big sigh of relief. And what he said is, we've got this now where we can deal with each project one at a time. There's no emergency facing us. And I looked at the expression of his face and I thought to myself, he's refreshed. And that's what happened to Paul. Just having Onesiphorus show up and say to him, I'm here for you, Paul, was something that was like a cold drink of water when you're hot and thirsty, or a cool breeze when it's been stifling. You know that cool breeze that followed this storm? Did you notice that dry air that came from the north after that storm came through? It's just amazing how that brightens your spirit. And that's what happened here. So when you show up, even though you may not do very much, even though you may not be able to accomplish all that needs to be done, just your presence there alongside of somebody who's going through something is like, wow, thank you. I can sleep a little easier. I can get after this tomorrow a little better because you've shown up. A little bit goes a long way when somebody is refreshed. Another thing that happens when you roll up your sleeves and lend a hand to those in need is that you encourage them. Not only do you refresh them, but you encourage them. Look what he says in verses 16 and 17. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. You know what happens sometimes when you hit adverse circumstances? It can cause you to condemn yourself. And it can also cause you to doubt God's provision. You know, have you ever been hit and then you get hit again? Have you ever been hit and hit really hard? And when something like that happens, you will get to a place where you look up, and whether you say it or not, there is something inside of you that is like, really, Lord? Seriously? You know, I can only take so much. Or you may say, what did I do to deserve this? That's what Job's friends were trying to sort out with Job. Obviously, the Lord would not have let this happen to you unless you had it coming to you. And so Paul is locked up. He's been in a chain. And here's this guy going all over town until he can find Paul where he is, so that he can minister to him. I suppose this happened when he says he sought him. I suppose this happened, if you read Acts chapter 28, at a time when Paul had his own hired house. In other words, he's still a prisoner, but he's not actually in the prison. That would have been easy to find Paul. And he gets there, he gets to keep his own hired house. And so, you know, somebody says, yeah, he's under house arrest. He lives down there somewhere. And Onesiphorus had to really hunt around and try to find him so that he could be a help to him. But, you know, when Onesiphorus helped Paul, he encouraged him because Paul didn't feel abandoned. In verse 15, it said, "All they which are in Asia be turned away from me." He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, at my first answer, "No man stood with me." To know there's a guy hunting for you in town that wants to be a blessing to you is really an encouragement. And that's what Paul, you know what he knew he had? And this is what he needed. He knew he had a friend. He knew he had a friend. To keep your finger where you are and turn to Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse 2. Paul is giving some instruction to the church in Galatia, various things he has to say in chapter 6, but look what he says in verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, what's the law of Christ? What's the law of Christ? You know, the law of the Old Testament was, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What did Paul do with that? Paul said, what did Jesus do with that? Excuse me. What did Jesus do with that? Jesus said, "Love them as I have loved you," which is a sacrifice. More than you love yourself, love them as I have loved you. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." And when Onesiphorus showed up, Paul could smile and be encouraged and say, "Though I'm locked up, though a lot of people have turned their back on me," and he says later, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world," he could smile and say, "I got a friend." And that fulfills the law of Christ. Onesiphorus went out of his way to help Paul. And, you know, he was in Ephesus. That's in Asia. And so to get to Rome, he had to travel a long distance. And to know that he had diligently sought him till he found him, said, "Listen, Paul, you're very special to me. I appreciate our friendship. I want to be a blessing to you." So sometimes it's important for us to remember, not only are we there to accomplish the task that we've come to accomplish, to pick up the branches or patch the roof or whatever it may be, but just let somebody know, we love you. And that's an encouragement. And it's refreshing. And you'll see faces brighten up and smiles come at a time when people would otherwise want to cry. And then notice this, when you roll up your sleeves and lend a hand to help those in need, not only do you refresh them and encourage them, but you also, and very specifically, you minister to them. You minister to them. Look in verse 18. Paul said, "The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day." Watch it. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. This is very uncharacteristic for Paul to be on the receiving end of a blessing. That's not Paul. Now, Paul really did need help at this point, because what did Paul do? What was his occupation? He was a tent maker. He said, "He's not ashamed of my chain." How many tents are you going to make when like this? He's in a chain. You're not going to be able to do that anymore. And if people have turned their back on you like they did in verse 15, how many offerings do you suppose you're receiving these days? I mean, when you're out there doing the work of an evangelist, Paul, we in Philippi will send you some money, but now that you're just eating bread and drinking water in Rome, what's the use, right? You're not doing anything for the Lord anymore. And Onesiphorus said, we're going to take care of this. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and notice Paul's M.O. You know what the M.O. is, right? Modus operandi. It means the way he normally did things whenever he ministered. He is telling the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 33, watch this. This is Paul's testimony. Onesiphorus is one of the men that was in the company of these men to whom Paul is addressing this statement. In Acts chapter 20, verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So Paul not only made enough by the things that he did with his own hands to take care of his needs, but he also supported, what do they call it today? His team. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's Paul. Now he's on the receiving end. And that's not Paul's ordinary deal, but he sure had the need. He absolutely needed somebody like Onesiphorus to come there and take care of what he was dealing with. He couldn't handle the problem alone. So when you are given the opportunity to be a blessing or a help to somebody else, when you roll up your sleeves and get your hands in there, just remember this. Not only are you refreshing them and encouraging them, but you're actually accomplishing something for them that they can't do for themselves. And they actually have a need, and in your case, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so there's a blessing in that for you as well. But you're taking care of something that is a definite, definite need for the person you're helping. But you know something? There's some personal blessings in this. Not only are you giving something to them that they need and encouraging them and refreshing them, but you know what you're doing? You're reaping mercy now. Look again in 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 16. Paul said about Onesiphorus, he said, the Lord give mercy unto the house, so that's going to be his whole family, of Onesiphorus. You know when Onesiphorus went to go see Paul in Rome, who was there to take care of his responsibilities at the house? Do you understand he had to deny his own life and livelihood to go take care of somebody else's? I have a message on my desk right now that was referred to me by a pastor from a fellow that called down here, and he said, my wife and I are going to come to Texas and spend 30 days. Can you help us find some direction where we might be needed the most? Now, while they come down here to do that, who's back there where they were taking care of their place, mowing their grass, or making their money? Do you understand? Onesiphorus had to do that, so Paul says, the Lord give mercy unto the house, because his own family then experienced the loss of his time there, of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Onesiphorus reaped mercy now. Let me ask you something. How many people in here today would raise your hand and say, I just want everybody here to know I am perfect? Okay, for the record, only one hand was raised. No, nobody's hand was raised. The Lord knows we're not perfect. And the Lord knows, listen, that we are not better than those we help. We're better off at the time, but we're not better than the people that we help. So when we show mercy to somebody that has a need, the Lord shows mercy to us. In other words, Onesiphorus, though he was not there to till his ground or whatever he had to give up for that period of time that he went to take care of Paul in Rome, the Lord said, you've been merciful to my man. I'm going to be merciful to your house. In other words, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. That's what's going on there. And that's something with the Lord. Keep your finger here, but turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and look at verse 25. This is the Lord's economy. We looked on Wednesday night, he that lendeth unto the Lord, you know, that you give something to somebody that's poor and in need, you're lending to the Lord, and that which he giveth shall he pay him again, the Bible says. Same way, when you extend mercy to somebody, in Psalm 18, look at verse 25, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. Is there anybody here today that said, preacher, I don't need mercy. I've got all I need. God's just, I'm good. I don't need any more. Again, no hands were raised. Everyone in here could use a little more mercy. You know, the best way to get it is to extend mercy to somebody else. And that's what you do. When you help somebody, not only are you a blessing to them, but there is a personal benefit. And when you reap that mercy for being merciful to somebody else, you are developing a good report among the brethren. And that's important. We don't do things for personal recognition here. I don't want to spend my day and then have four or five people say, boy, you should have seen Brother Welder down there. He was really knocking it out today. We don't do that. Nevertheless, a good report is something that is important to those that minister. I'll give you an example. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul was telling Timothy, now when you're getting pastors for these churches, you want a man that wants the office. So he starts out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this is a true saying. If a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. If he doesn't want to do it, don't pull him into it. Peter said, not by constraint. You don't want to get drug into it because nobody else will do the job. That's not going to work. And then he starts going down through these things that people call qualifications for him. And look here in verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 7. And he says this, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Well, how are you going to know that? Unless he's done some things that other people know about that were good, right? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul says, these are the kinds of widows that you want to take care of. My grandfather didn't call them widows. He called them widders. These are the kinds, he said, now if they have a family that can take care of them, well then let the family take care of them. They don't have a family to take care of them, and they're over 60 years old, then let the church take care of them. And so he says here, but when you do, be careful about the widows that you help. Verse 10, well reported of for good works. Well, she wasn't doing things to draw attention to the good work she was doing, but she was so good at doing good things for other people, she had a report, right? All right, now go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and notice here with Onesiphorus in verse 18, the Lord granted him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, watch it, thou knowest very well. You see that? Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, Onesiphorus was such a help to me that you couldn't keep what he was doing under wraps. The good works that he had done, the Bible says, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. He was just a helper. And so Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus because of what he had done, and he therefore had a good report among the brethren. I'll tell you something. It is good to be known for doing good things to help other people. It brings you into favor with God, and it brings you into favor with men. And that's important sometimes. Not to do it for recognition, but to recognize that when you do that, people appreciate it. And God appreciates it. Notice something else. In this passage, in verse 16, Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, right? But then in verse 18, he said, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy. Well, he already said that in verse 16. But watch the specific qualification. Watch what he says. The Lord grant unto him personally, not now his house, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord, watch it, in that day. In that day. So, when you are helping somebody else and refreshing them and encouraging them and ministering unto their needs, not only do you reap mercy now, but you reap mercy later. In that day, what's he talking about? Talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about the day that you have to give account of yourself before God. And he says, I want the Lord to grant him mercy. Why would he say grant him mercy in that day? Here's what I think. Here's what I believe about that passage. I believe we need mercy at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe we need mercy at the judgment seat of Christ. How many of you, since you've been saved, boo-booed? All right, well, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about those boo-boos. Boo-boo. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when we get before the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ, there's two things going on. There's a reward for good things, but then there's something else going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good, oh, I'm looking forward to that. There's not much, but there'll be something. Or bad, I'm not looking forward to that. And Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. People have asked me, after I got saved, what if I did some bad things and I'm going to have to give account for those? Is there any way to erase some of that, mark it off? Paul said, the Lord grant mercy unto him in that day. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at the last two verses in the chapter. Last three verses, actually, 23 to 25. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. So Onesiphorus is doing this to help Paul, but he's doing this as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. But with the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful. What it looks like when Paul is praying for Onesiphorus here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that the Lord would grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. It's kind of like, you know where you messed up over here? It's okay, because what you did for Paul is just fine. We just call it even. You get mercy now. Amen? And you get mercy later. And I'll tell you something. I need all the mercy I can get. I need all the mercy I can get. I tell you, what a blessing to be able to really do something that's very needful and very helpful and very encouraging to somebody else, and be aware at the same time that when Paul said, redeeming the time for the days are evil, that that the Lord is saying, you know what, I'm going to let this count. Not only for their benefit, I'm going to let this count for your benefit when I see you at the judgment seat of Christ. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous joy. I hate the thoughts and regrets in my mind of things gone by. Don't you? I was talking to somebody the other day, and this person was telling me that, okay, I never, when I'm talking about a singular person, I try not to say they, but if I say he, then you're going to know it's a he, and if I say she, you're going to know it's a she. So I'm going to say he, and you won't know, because it's a singular person, not a plural person, they. This person came to me, and he said, I have so many regrets about those things that I've done. And I said, you know what you need to do with those? You just need to put them all in a closet. And you need to paint big red letters on the door of that closet, keep out. And then you need to lock it with a padlock and chain and throw away the key and never go in there again. So some time passed and we visited again. And I said, so how are things going? Things are going pretty well. I said, that's good. And he said, I hadn't gone back in that room. When you do something today like Onesiphorus did for Paul in his day, it is a whole lot easier to stay out of that room. Why? Because you have another room you can go to now. And that room has some good things that you've done for the Lord that have been a blessing to somebody else. And I say, build up a lot of memories in that room and keep the door open so you can take a look. When you roll up your sleeves and lend a hand to those in need, you refresh them. You can see it. You encourage them so when you leave, they know that they've got a friend that loves them. You minister to them because you've helped them accomplish something they couldn't do alone. And from the Lord, you receive mercy now. And so does your house during that time that you had to spend away to help. And you reap mercy hereafter. Because the Lord remembers that at the judgment seat of Christ. God bless you. Many of you have already helped and lent a hand. Many of you today gave to be a relief. God bless you for that. Know that those who receive it will be refreshed and encouraged and helped. And know that the Lord is merciful to you. And if you have an opportunity while somebody is in need, either from something like we've just seen or in another case, and you roll up the sleeves to help, you're doing them some good, but you're doing yourself some good as well. And may God bless you when you do. Father, thank you today for the opportunity to be encouraged by the words of God. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to use these words not only to instruct us, but to keep us encouraged, not only to hear what we've done, seen in the Scripture today, but to be one like Onesiphorus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll never be without a mind for others who are in such great need as these that we've seen around us now and as Paul was in his day. Bless those, Father, who neglect their own needs to help others who have greater needs. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.